and welcome to a new episode of our podcast, Take a Seat. I'm here, very thankful, with Roger Leonhardt, a member of the SHL Advisory Board. He tells us about his long and exciting journey around the world to become an executive vice president of the biggest hotel in the world in Macau. How he has found the emotional gate to the customer on the highest level of luxury. Because what can you offer someone who already has got everything? And about he was working with dolphins and why he needed to stop thinking as a GM.
SHL Podcast. Take a seat and listen to passionate professionals by SHL, Schweizerische Hotelfachschule Luzern.
Hello, Roger Leonhardt. I'm very pleased to welcome you to our today's podcast. And I'm very happy to talk with you a little bit about your journey and your career. Welcome, Roger.
Well, danke. Thank you. I think in one way, strange to talk in English, but after living overseas for over 30 years, it's easier for me to speak in English than maybe Swiss German. So I'm glad we do it in English. I'm very honored to be here in Lucerne and be part of the advisory board. And thank you for having me. It's a great honor.
Thank you. You already said that you are part of our advisory board, and you are actually came from way far east, from Macau, where you are executive vice president for hospitality in the Galaxy Entertainment Group. And thank you for coming and taking the long journey to come to Switzerland. Has it been a hard journey to come to Switzerland?
To come here is easy. To go back will be much harder because as you know, with the COVID, we couldn't travel for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen my family for 2 years. So it was definitely time to come home and see everyone. Going back will be much harder because China, Macau is very tough with the quarantine issue. Although I'm 3 times injected and have the everything, but you still have to go in 3 weeks quarantine. So that will be the challenge, but that's okay. We enjoy every minute at the moment. I had some great time staying in two beautiful hotels already in St. Moritz, in Padus Palace, and then in Omia with Christian Eckert, which is an ex-SLH student. So great time already.
That is amazing. And thank you for taking all this on you to come to Switzerland and also to come to Lucerne, to SHL. Now, you mentioned hospitality. Could you tell us a little bit, okay, what are you doing back in Macau?
Well, as you know, I think we start with it's an integrated resort, what we call an IR. So as an IR, there are different components, non-gaming or gaming components. I'm mainly in charge of non-gaming components such as hotels, F&Bs, transportation, cinema, and a couple of other aspects of the non-gaming business. And this is what I do. So the integrated resort currently has 6 hotels. We are building currently 2 more. Within the next 5 to 6 years, we'll end up with 14 hotels, around 200 restaurants. Currently, we have 120 restaurants. So obviously, doing COVID, everything is a little bit smaller. But normally, our business is booming and we're doing very high occupancy throughout the whole year and running between 40 to 60,000 visitors on a normal day. Plus, we're running 90 to 95% occupancy every single day of the year.
Wow. I mean, this is really impressive. It's just like numbers that we are in Switzerland not really well, know at the moment. But tell us, so if you have so many hotels and you're looking after so many different restaurants, so just over the dumb, how many employees are working in that integrated resort?
This is, again, non-COVID, pre-COVID or whatever, but on average between 16 to 20,000 people. That depends also on the business level and how many contract workers which we have. In my area, they're around 6,000 currently. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's not including casuals or part-timer. And that is, again, balanced between hotel, transportation, F&B. F&B is obviously the biggest department with all the restaurants and the entire back-of-house operation. You can imagine the amount of meals we just have to serve daily for our team members. In heydays, we serve 20,000 meals a day just for our back-of-house staff.
which is really impressive. So in when we hear these figures and this a huge amount of employees, how can you make sure there is a personal service that you are delivering to your guests?
I think I highlighted that this morning, and our guest journeys are the most important thing, and that we really understand what the guest today wants and why does he want it or she wants it. And we must understand that, you know, I'm looking again at my two stays in the hotels I just recently had, is that if you're a guest and you're paying 500 to 1,000 Swiss franc a day in a room, you have to understand that they, that guest, lives either in London or lives in New York or lives in China, Beijing, Shanghai, and that person is used to everything because he or she lives in a luxury penthouse apartment or in a big house, and that house will have servant or have a maid, etc. So they are already used to that every single day. So when they come to a five-star hotel, they expect more than what they get at home. So therefore, the way you measure your guest journey is very, very important. That personalized detail. And it doesn't matter if it's one guest or 100 guests or 1,000 guests. They expect the same. They come to a luxury resort. And they're used to it. So if you think my limos, well, they will have their own Mercedes Maybach or their own Bentley at home or their own Rolls Royce at home in Shanghai, in Beijing or in Russia or wherever. And they have a driver, correct? And the driver will get out, open their door, and let them sit in the back. So you need to look at that and say, okay, they get that experience at home. So how can we make that experience even better with our drivers? Okay, and that's then from every aspect. If that is in the hotel, if that is in the restaurant. Because let me tell you, these guests, they don't make their own bed at home, correct? So how important is that we make it even better than what they get at home? And most of the time, and this is a really interesting part, is that the guests which come into our, they actually think our hotel rooms are small because their bedroom is much bigger at home. So today you can't just have a 30 square meter room. That's not anymore possible. Their expectation is much higher. That's why you need to have nice suites, nice view, like I just enjoyed again in the two hotels I just stayed. But the personalized detail is so important. You know, when you look at a buffet restaurant or breakfast in the morning, how you connect again on that journey with the customer. Well, the customer doesn't want to get up. He wants to be served. She wants to be served because she will be served at home. So that journey and these elements in turndown service, in guest experience services of all the different aspects is so crucial and will only become more crucial because the younger generation with lifestyle images and lifestyle mind will even have another inspiration of the freshly pressed carrot juice with ginger in versus before maybe the older generation was happy with just an apple juice. Not today anymore. That's over. Apple juice orange juice is just normal. But today, I want the skin milk latte with non-lactose, or I want this, or I want this. That's what the lifestyle people today want. So you need to be able to adjust in every way possible.
So you mentioned before, and that's very interesting, that you know, you're looking after 6,000 employees. And you mentioned that you have been in the Omnia in Zermatt, which is a beautiful hotel with I think like 32 rooms.
Yes.
Around that. Now, in Switzerland, it's always said that it's the communication in hotels that is a challenge. And to make sure that the guest journey is done perfectly, communication is crucial.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit, okay, with 6,000 employees, how can you make sure that the communication and the guest journey is done perfectly well?
I think it's all about training, how you embrace training, how you compare on-hand training versus corporate training, how the two blend together, and then how you bring that into the training room or on-hand training, that you get the support from everyone, And then that you can connect your rank and file team members who actually do that daily, correct? It's very hard for you when you sit up here in the chair and say, oh, I'm the boss and I want you to do this and that. But how you bring that down three level or four levels until you are hitting the rank and file, that's the important part. And that you have the ability to spend time and connect with them. And that starts with me and then my direct reports and then the next direct report level. How do you connect and understand what actually the employee wants? And that we are embracing their culture, that we understand what they want, that we understand what the customer expectations are, and how do we blend the two together, that we keep record on the different guests, and that we're not robotic. Okay. I think the emotional engagement is so important. Okay. How do I connect emotionally with the customer and understand their wants and needs and listened, you know? And even though in the guest history it says, oh, I like jasmine tea, for example. Yeah. Well, it's not that you right away go and say, oh, I understand you want jasmine tea. How do you question that then is vital in you normally prefer jasmine tea. However, I have this wonderful new version of a tea for you. Would you like to try it out? So that it becomes non-robotic. You do explain the customer that you know his needs or her needs, but at the same time, you're there because you don't want to be robotic. You do offer something else. With that, you get a better emotional connection rather than be robotic. Okay, because now the customer, oh, okay, he or she did not just read what is on the computer, but he or she actually made the effort of taking to another level with me and give me something better or give me another version. I can always go back to my traditional or I'm willing to go to the next level, correct? And that, I think, is today in every aspect. If you go to the spa, okay, the last time you had a pedicure and manicure, you don't go, oh, your usual pedicure, manicure. How would you want a facial, or how about I kind of cut your eyebrows, your hair a little bit too long? That at any point of time, you get emotionally engaged with the customer. And that can be across the board. It doesn't matter how small a hotel is versus how big a hotel is. Because remember, that customer who comes, the customer doesn't come, oh, I'm in a 1,000-room hotel, therefore my service level should be different. No, I'm the paying customer. And I expect the service I'm paying for. And you cannot then say, oh, different because you're in a bigger hotel. So I think these are the crucial parts of how you're managing that.
Very interesting. I think we have now talked a lot about the business part and also the guest journey part. I would like to quickly as well switch over to you as a person who is actually, you know, you have grown up in Switzerland, right? How did you manage to be now executive vice president of the biggest hotel in the world in Macau? How did you manage that?
I was lucky. I think it's all in your mindset, mm-hmm. and in what you want to do in your life. I was determined since 10 years old that I want to be a chef. My sort of guy I looked forward was my grandfather, who was an executive chef in Zurich. And I used to watch him on Sunday cooking, and I was inspired by it. And I wanted to be a chef all my life, never wanted to be anything else. But I remember when I went the first time to the hotels, not to the hotel, to my, what do you call it in Swiss, Lehrlingsschule.
Ausbildung, also the
Berufsschule. So when I went the first time, the teacher asked us to write an Aufsatz, what we inspire to be. And he gave me the copy the day I was finishing my apprenticeship. And he said, you should keep that. And I still have it today. And it says that I want to be a good chef, knowing how to cook. But with 40, I want to be a general manager. And I wrote in there that it was very hard because I had a tough upbringing and I didn't have parents with money. Therefore, I couldn't go to hotel school 50 years ago. It was not easy to go to hotel school if you didn't have parents with some money, correct? Even as a Swiss, it was not easy. So I had to do it the hard way.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to join Hilton in London. Mm-hmm. After I did all the hotels here in Switzerland, I was in Hotel de Berg, the Grand Hotel, Castello del Sol, Palace Gstaad. And then finally, I applied to Hilton and the Jean-Claude Vermeyer, I will never forget his name, which was a HR director for Hilton International in Basel, offered me a job in London. Mm-hmm. So I went as a young chef to London and start cooking in London. And they liked what I did there. And then they offered me a job to go to Sydney. And I asked the chef at that stage, where's Sydney? And so I ended up in Sydney Hilton, and then again Hilton further developed me and sent me to Brisbane Hilton, opened my first hotel as a chef, which was very exciting. Mm-hmm. Hilton then sent me to some management courses for my chef point. And then I was very lucky to be hired by a guy called Andrea Stalder from Hyatt International, mm-hmm. a very famous chef, F&B guy. He had an amazing career in his life, mm-hmm. One of the best person in my life as a professional.
Also a mentor, maybe.
Yeah, he was certainly one of my mentors. And he hired me and gave me a job opportunity in Perth as an executive chef with Hyatt. Then I went to Melbourne. And in Melbourne, again, some mentors such as himself, Stalder, and another guy called Willie Martin encouraged me to go into management. And so I became F&B director. From there, I moved on as an executive EM into Grand Hyatt Bali. And from Bali, I went to Macau for the first time. Then I became GM in Jakarta. And from Jakarta, I went to Delhi. And from Delhi, I went to Grand Hyatt Tokyo. And then after 20 years, I believe there was an opportunity to do something else. I always heard about this name IR, Integrated Resort. And I was lucky enough to join Resort World and do the opening of the Resort World in Singapore. And, you know, I can only say thank you to Hyatt and especially Stalder and Willie Martin, which really, and there's another guy called Peter Stettler, which really encouraged me over these 20 years with Hyatt. And these were amazing people, which you will never forget in your life. And so then I joined Resort World, and thanks to Hyatt, I had all this know-how in hotel and F&B, and it was an amazing experience. But first time in Integrated Resort, I remember the CEO there saying to me, can you please stop thinking like a GM? You're not anymore a GM. You're an SVP. You need to think managerial, and you need to stop thinking Hyatt. You're now the owner because you're working for the owner direct. That was career blowing for me. And during that time, not only hotel and F&B, but then I start learning Universal Studio, theme park. I learned how to work with dolphins, how to open an aquarium. Yeah. It was just mind-boggling. And then again, I was lucky and got hired with Galaxy Entertainment Group, which I'm now the last 8 years. And it's fascinating, these IRs.
So just for all the listeners, it's Integrated Resort means we have a lot of hotels, we have casinos, we have theme parks, we have retail space. So it's just a huge world within a world, right?
Correct.
That's what we call an integrated resort.
Yes.
I would like to ask you, so hospitality has brought you all over these interesting places. Would you again choose hospitality for your career path? And what do you love about hospitality?
I'm a passion person. And I think the passion in hospitality, you can drive every day. Because you will always find people who love it, who want to eat, who want to experience luxury, who want to experience something new. So would I do ever something different? No. If I would be born again, yes, I would go back into hospitality. For me, there's absolutely no question. Food and beverage part of the hospitality industry is the hardest one. And there is many reasons for that. And I always say the crazy reason for it is that every person, every human being with a fork and a spoon has an opinion. Mm-hmm. So therefore, F&B is very challenging. And you need to be able, although that everyone has an opinion, you need to stick to the authenticity of the restaurant which you open, respect that, respect the culture which you're in, and keep the staff online on that. Only like that you will achieve the highest level of service and kitchen standard. You always apologize and will be humble enough, oh, this had too much salt, or this had too much dirt, but stick to authenticity. Mm-hmm. That's why I love the hospitality industry. And, you know, whatever I can contribute in the next 5-10 years, I want to contribute as much as I can and help younger people to be inspired like I was.
That's great. And we are also very glad to have you in our advisory board here at SHL. And with that said, I would like to go over to some small questions where you can pick one answer or you could also say something to it. And the first one is tea or coffee?
Coffee. Must be double espresso.
Wonderful. Then car or bicycle?
Car. I'm a petrol head.
Wonderful. What kind of car are you driving in Macau?
Oh, in Macau, it's only a Mini because Macau is too small. But I inspire for much bigger. And I would like to have a couple of vintage cars further down the track.
Nice. Mountains or sea?
Oh, definitely mountains. I'm a ski fanatic. And if I could walk in the summer, I would go for hikes.
Wonderful. And structured or chaotic?
Wow, I'm a structured guy. Yeah. Yes, my kids will blame me for that.
That's great. Roger Leonhard, thank you very much. I think we got very interesting insights on your career, on the different steps that you have made throughout your career, throughout your hospitality career. And I think you inspired me, and I hope you inspired also a lot of other listeners to join the hospitality, because it's just a great industry to work in, right?
I can only agree with you, and I'm very honored to be part of Lucerne SHL now, and happy to support anyways. And if I can support any of your students and inspire them, that's the minimum I can do for the school and the minimum I can do for Switzerland. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and have a good trip back to Macau.
Thank you. Thank you very much.